Welcome to the Profiling Criminal Minds Coronavirus Check-In Bonus Show. I'm Dan.
And I'm Sheila.
And, oh, God. What a week.
Yeah, well, this was the week.
Wow.
You know, as I said, I phoned you and said, so is this finally his face in the crowd moment?
Well, the weird part is, right, Face in the Crowd, if you haven't seen Face in the Crowd, what she's talking about is there's this scene, it's basically a movie about Donald Trump by Elia Kazan from 70 years ago, about a right-wing populist who, you know, gets a TV show. His name is Lonesome Rhodes. He gets a TV show and he gets into politics and he wants to become a kingmaker and he's going to be the president one day. And he's, you know, a scumbag fascist who's only in it for himself, right? And at the end of the movie, yeah, there's this scene, which you've seen aped 100 times, where someone turns the audio on, right? Like, starts recording and broadcasting him talking about how much contempt he has for his fans and what scumbags they are, right? And how they're all just pathetic people that he can manipulate and force to do whatever he wants because, you know, they're sheep and he is the shepherd. Except, you know, shepherds actually take care of their sheep, and he has open contempt for his sheep. And that all gets broadcast, and that is what takes him down. Oh, and by the way, it's Andy Griffith. I should have mentioned that part.
Yeah, this is
America's dad, Andy Griffith, playing this part.
Yes, before.
Before the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, and before Matlock.
Long before Matlock.
But yeah, I think about it, 70 years ago.
Yeah, 70 years ago.
It was in the 50s, yeah, facing the crowd.
65 years ago-ish. Yeah, yes. So like, and then right around the Andy Griffith Show time. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, and it's Patricia Neal. And
It's an amazing movie.
Amazing, except that, of course, all of these people that have been backing him walk away from him.
Yeah. And the difference is, in this day and age, and I guess what Elia Kazan didn't understand is, with Trump, people have so wrapped themselves up in their identity as being Trump fans that there's literally nothing he could do. Like, he can spit in their faces and they will still die to support him. Because they have no self, they have no identity other than being a Trump supporter now.
Yeah.
Like, that is how far these Trump zombies have gone. Again, I can't stress enough, Herman Cain got killed by Trump, and Herman Cain's Twitter is still supporting Trump. Like, Trump killed Herman Cain. Trump killed his own brother, and everybody's still supporting him.
Yeah, well, you remember killed them with COVID.
You're right. He didn't shoot them the way he said he could. Right. But it would be lying to say that his complete botching of this COVID thing is not responsible for both Herman Cain and his brother's death. Herman Cain more directly, because he literally caught it at a Trump rally.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the crazy part. Like, he literally went to a Trump rally, and he's now dead because he went to a Trump rally. And this is the week, like you said, like everybody has said, where any president would have resigned this week over the revelations from the Bob Woodward book. Like, any president before this one would have resigned if that came out. That they purposefully downplayed the virus, even though they knew it was bad, and now 200,000 Americans are dead?
Yep.
Right? Like, people expect anybody to care about 9/11 this year?
Well, they do, but it's like...
When three 9/11s happen every... Like, 2.5 9/11s happen every single week because Trump has botched... the response to this COVID. Meanwhile, in Canada, on Friday, nobody died of COVID. One person died of COVID on Friday for the first time since March.
Yeah.
Now, and we don't have it completely under control. There are still spikes and there's still dips, but we had a day where no one died. And on that day, 1,100 Americans died of COVID.
Yeah.
And it's like, how much more do you need to know, right?
Well, yeah, you have 1,100 deaths. That means in 3 days, more people have died from COVID than died in 9/11.
Yep. Every 3 days, they're having a 9/11's worth of deaths. And and the Trump administration's plan literally seems to be just accept that a huge amount of people are going to die every day and hope that Americans just get used to massive amounts of people dying every day for the foreseeable future. That's his plan.
Yeah, my line being, yeah, well, of course, he doesn't care because I'm sure he thinks that very few of them are white. But some of his supporters are his iffy supporters. There are people like the guy, I read an article actually this morning.
Yeah.
By, oh God, what's his name? His last name is, anyway. He was running for Congress in Northern California.
Gotcha.
And he's black and he was a Republican.
Oh.
And he went to one of Trump's rallies in 2016.
Gotcha.
And he's the one that Trump called my African American.
Ew.
Right. And as he says, I mean, he just thought it was a joke and the way they were because of, you know, he was sitting in the VIP section and, and Trump was talking about how some black supporter had, how one of his black supporters had knocked out an anti-Trumper, had punched out an anti-Trumper, and he didn't know where that black supporter was. And this guy goes, it was me. It was me. Right. He was just saying it was for him. It was a joke. Like this is 2016. Right.
Yeah.
And he said his life hasn't, he said his life has never been the same. He said he went to bed that night and he woke up and it had gone viral. And he's actually moved to Southern California because he couldn't. He lost his fiance. He lost friends. He lost, you know, he lost the election too, but that was another thing. Yeah,
it was to keep a ton of friends when you're that vocal Trump supporter and you're, you know, black
African American. Yeah. Right. And, but he says he's still a Republican, but he believes in the Republican Party that freed the slaves. And now
those are called Democrats now.
Yeah, but he doesn't like Democrats. And but he became an independent. He left the Republican Party because of Trump.
Yeah.
And the way Trump has behaved and his policies. And
that's great. I mean,
and a whole bunch of things. And so
anyone who doesn't do that is complicit in Trump's crime. So he did the bare minimum.
Well, the
to
thing
not be
is,
complicit in his crime,
as he said, he still doesn't know who he's going to vote for.
Really?
Believe
Seems
it
like
or
it
not,
it wouldn't be that hard to not vote for Trump.
Well, yeah, it's a really it's weird when you read it, right? Because he went so far, but he says, well, he doesn't like Biden, right?
Who cares?
But he does like Kamala Harris. So if he does end up voting for Biden, it's because he's voting
for Kamala Harris to become president.
And I'm going,
in 4 years.
That's fine.
Fine by us. Yeah. We're not going to fight you on that one, weirdo.
No. Don't call people names who are coming around. It is hard to leave a cult.
No, it is. It absolutely is. It's hard to get out of a cult, and you should always be incredibly supportive of everyone trying to leave a cult.
Everyone who makes just short little moves.
Yeah. You have to support every step in the direction as they try to leave the cult. You shouldn't make fun of their robes and their haircut. I get it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Goofy as it may look, don't make fun of their robes and their haircut. Just quietly support
them.
Well,
unless they're wearing a Klan robe.
Well, yes. Then make fun of the robes.
You know, I mean, if they're wearing the Klan uniform,
100% you're allowed to do it. I'm allowed
to
do it.
Tiki torches in a parade
while wearing the white supremacist uniform of khakis and a polo shirt.
You know, but yes, this was definitely an amazing.
It's been an amazing week because the Bob Woodward. So last week. Like the story was, and again, if there was audio tape of it, I think his Lonesome Roads moment would have been him loudly saying, that people who die for their country are suckers and losers, right? But there's no audio tape of that. So yeah. That couldn't be like that. I mean, it's going to hurt him. And he already had lost the support of a lot of the military when he did nothing about the fact that Putin was paying people to murder American soldiers. And he has not done anything about that. Right. But the losers and suckers, that would have sunk his presidency if there was audio of it. Right. By comparison, this thing, it's going to be bad. The fact that there's audio tape of him saying he tried to, like, he's just trying to keep people from panicking and blah, 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 blah. Of course, what he really means is he's trying to keep the market from panicking.
Yeah. Like, it was fascinating, though, to listen to that because, yeah. He sounds very clear. Yep. He knows exactly what he's saying, mm-hmm. and he understands fully
what he's doing.
He understands. Yeah. No, the initial one when he explains how bad the COVID-19 is.
Oh, yeah. No, he has listened to Fauci. Okay? Yeah.
No, 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 no. He had just come off a call with Xi Jinping.
Oh, yes. Xi Jinping.
Xi Jinping.
Yeah.
Right. He had just finished a call with Xi Jinping.
And the leader of China had told him just how bad this thing was.
Bad this thing was. And so he was explaining it all to Bob Woodward. And the problem is that, yeah,
if he
so
knew
you
how
know,
bad it was.
No, no, yeah. no, no. Bob Woodward at that point, this is how it went. Bob Woodward at that point, that was just part of the general conversation.
I remember. Okay? I've listened to it.
For him. Right. For yeah. Bob Woodward. And then afterwards, it's not like 6 weeks later, 2 months later, mm-hmm. Woodward, as Trump is doing all of this stuff. And Woodward, I guess, is re-listening to some of his tapes as he's writing his book. He goes, yep. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then as they would say, you know, and then Trump is saying, well, if Woodward thought it was so bad, then he should have said something like, who's he going to go to? Like, Who's the president of the United States?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, Bob Woodward is supposed to ring alarm bells. No.
No.
What he was supposed to do, what everybody does. And then the gall to compare himself to Churchill and
Roosevelt. Oh, I know.
Was just like, I mean, all I could do was laugh when I
Which,
heard
by the
that.
Way, I've listened to Churchill's speeches. He wasn't trying to keep people from panicking.
Oh,
he was
no.
saying, you've got to get out there and fight with everything you've got.
And you are going to have to sacrifice.
You sacrifice. Exactly. He said, "All you are going to have to sacrifice. This is really bad. We're going to have to fight them on the beaches. We are going to have to fight them." Like, it's a famous friggin' speech. And what did Trump say? He said, just don't do anything. It's all going to magically go away.
Mm-hmm.
So no, he's not like Churchill. He's the opposite of Churchill. As someone did this wonderful Twitter like thread about why they never used the keep calm and carry on posters. Like it was a poster they made, but they didn't use them because that was the wrong message to send. The message you had to send was, this is a communal effort. You're not it's not life as usual. We are going to have to sacrifice and we are going to have to fight if we want to survive the Nazis. And that's what they did. And that's what the message they put out there was.
And it wasn't just in Britain. It was in Canada. It was the United States. People, gas was rationed.
Yep.
They took all the rubber they could to build more planes. They, mm-hmm. you know, all sorts of things. Like people and
no,
food
scrap
was
drives.
Rationed.
Literally scrap drives. Every single extra piece of metal you had in your house that you weren't actively using, you were asked to turn over to the government so it could make planes.
Yeah.
Every piece of
and
scrap you had.
Planes and bullets mm-hmm. and whatever else.
Bombs,
guns.
Yeah.
Bombs.
You know, it's like buy these war bonds so that we can afford to make bombs. That's what the messaging was. And Trump's messaging is just ignore it. It's all going to go away.
Yeah.
It's fascinating though. Like what a disaster it is for him to try and say he's like Churchill. Jesus Christ. That's insulting to everyone with any awareness of history.
Of the Second World War.
Oh, yeah. Of the Second
World
War.
And what happened in Great Britain.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, and how that decision was, I mean, it was a difficult decision.
It was. It was a hard thing for people to do, but they did it and they saved their country from Hitler. And Trump's response was just pretend it's not happening and he's destroying his own country. Because he can't take like being thought of as anything but perfect for even a moment.
Yeah, and then there's of course the yeah, I mean, the whole thing with Trump, like it just is one thing after another because Michael Cohen's book came out. Scaramucci was interesting. He seems to think that what's going to happen, he said, the numbers are going to look like this. He said, and then he said, it's going to be like the Reagan election where it looked like it was still touch and go. And then people just went into the ballot box and said, we can't have four more years of this.
And ridiculous landslide.
For Reagan. That's what he thinks is going to happen.
It wouldn't shock me.
But it's just like,
I don't know if Scaramucci is right. But it would not surprise me if there's an enormous cohort of Trump zombies who know that they can't have four more years of this, but are afraid to say it to the other Trump zombies. And so, like you say, when they get into the booth, they're going to vote for Biden. They're not going to say it publicly. In the same way that last time people were afraid to say to pollsters they were going to vote for Trump because they knew that made them look like idiots. This time there's this cult around Trump that I think people are legitimately afraid to say that they're not going to vote for Trump because they're surrounded by cultists. Like they have cultists in their family.
All you have to do is read this article by, let me look up his name. I'll look up his name, right?
Yeah.
Just so I can figure out what his name is, right?
Well, while you're looking that up, I'm just going to say, I know it sounds hysterical, right? I know it sounds hysterical for me to say, but I honestly believe that just like looking at the track record and looking at the polling, that literally the only way that Trump could win this election is fraud. Like if Trump wins this election, it is not the will of the American people. It is criminal fraud. There's just no way, based on his performance and based on the numbers, that he can win this election without it being a crime.
Well, I don't know about that, but the guy's name was Gregory Cheadle.
Okay.
That was all. I wanted
Gregory
to say.
Cheadle is the guy. No, I honestly think, and I mean, he's doing his best. Did you see what they had the post office put out? So they had the post office put out instructions for how to do mail-in ballots, and they sent them to everyone in America. Here's the problem. They're only valid for people who aren't in states that don't already do 100% mail-in voting. So there's like eight states out there who are getting these mailers that say, be sure to fill out these forms and go to this website and blah, 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 blah. Except all the people in those states just automatically get a ballot mailed to them without them having to do anything. So what's going to happen if these people start clogging up systems trying to ask for ballots?
Well, it's I don't think that that's going to be in the states that have mail-in ballots. I don't think that that's going to be a big problem.
I hope it's
because
not.
Those people are used to doing mail-in ballots.
True, but how many people are voting for the first time?
Oh, yeah, but there won't be a lot.
We'll see.
I mean, comparatively speaking,
comparatively speaking, it's not going to be a big mess.
You know, I don't think it's going to be that big a mess. You know, it's funny, eh? Because
someone on Twitter was posting this video. They requested a mail-in ballot. So they sent in a thing to get the form to request their mail-in ballot because you need to fill out a form to get your mail-in ballot. And the form they got was like pages and pages of Trump propaganda about, you know, President Trump and what he's doing. And then once you get past all the Trump propaganda, here's the form to fill out to get your ballot, which again is using the government to illegally promote. That's what I mean when I say it is only illegal activity that could get him another term. Like, because they're just casually committing crimes now all the time, just constant crimes. Like this week, and we found out, just this week we found out that the head of Homeland Security ordered everyone to stop looking at and doing reports on Russian election meddling.
Yeah, as they say, there are some, I listened to one guy, and actually he was quoted in some of this, but he said, yeah, there was some of that, he said, is so he, and it is, it's more that they were supposed to put the emphasis on all of the other ones.
Yeah,
and
China.
Iran and the rest of it. Blah, 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 and blah. Nobody is doing it like Russia's doing it,
of
right?
Course. No, so. Russia is by far the biggest actor, yet that Chad Wolf, the ridiculously named Chad Wolf, is ordering people not to stop trying to impede Russia's attempts to interfere with the election. And put
anybody to tell.
Also, he said it's not a priority to look into that at all. Only look into China and Iran. It's not just that he doesn't want them to report it. He doesn't want them to do anything about it.
Well, all I can say is thank God. I mean, these days, thank God for Microsoft.
I know, right? Microsoft's the one putting out reports on this stuff.
I mean, that was the other thing that happened this week, right? Is that Microsoft said that there had been a major sort
Here's
of
what Russia's
attempt.
Doing. Like, we know, because we did all of the research last time, we know what it looks like when Russia's doing stuff. And guess what? Russia's doing stuff, and the Homeland Security is trying to cover it up.
Well, yeah, it's going to be, it's, I don't know. I mean, it's
everybody
just
needs
such,
to go to jail.
As I said, I mean, I've backed away from the dumpster fire. You're still watching it.
I am. No, I am.
Much more clearly than I am.
Well, no, it's like I hadn't been recently. Like, the past few weeks, you can listen to these shows. I haven't been listening to a ton of this stuff most weeks. But this week I had to because, oh my God, it's too much.
And Bob Ward, I'm going to get a hold of one of my colleagues has actually bought
the Bob Woodward book?
Mary Trump's book.
I was literally just reading it this week. We are going to talk about this book next week.
Okay.
Once
well,
you've read it. You zip through it this week. We are going to talk about
it. No, I don't have
it
yet.
No, what I'm saying is get the book and then we're going to discuss it because I'm going to tell you in a minute. Once we stop talking about this Woodward stuff, I'm going to tell you a story from the Mary Trump book that made me want to read the rest of the book.
Yeah, well, it is, sort of fascinating, all of that. And, you know, and the thing is that we're in the middle of, in the United States, you're in the middle of the worst fires. Can you imagine
in the history of the country? Yeah.
Had a gender reveal party and set off
a giant fire.
Acres, hundreds and hundreds of acres.
Someone, burning. By the way, did you see I saw the best line on Twitter? Which is a gender reveal party has done more financial damage and more property damage by a factor of 500 than every single BLM protest or quote unquote riot.
Yeah.
And yet nobody's saying we need to ban and jail anyone doing gender reveal parties.
And the funny thing is, this isn't the first time it's happened.
Nope. No, these gender reveal parties are an insane thing that
people
are
do
doing right now.
Stupid things, you know, the Darwinian.
I know. Yeah, except if they were just blowing themselves up, this wouldn't be a problem.
No,
it's that a gender reveal party has destroyed something like, what was it, 300 homes?
Oh, like, well, and killed, so far, 27 people are
killed
dead.
Killed 27 people
that they know.
And now that's so not far. All just the...
Well, no, Oregon.
Oregon.
Got a magic... You know, there's California is burning. Oregon, Portland is in the path almost.
Well, Portland's so built up that it's not going to be an issue. But they're going to have... Oh, no. Like, literally, it's a giant urban area. The fire can't get in there, but it can... Like, the smoke is going to kill a lot of people. Anyone with breathing problems, their life is in danger in Oregon right now.
Well, as I said, and I think I do think I remember talking about this before, but on the Criminal Minds podcasts, but I mean, I still remember when we had huge forest fires and they were hundreds of miles north of us in Timmins, around Timmins.
And you could still smell it.
You could see it. It didn't get dark at night in Sault Ste. Marie.
Because that's how bright the fires were.
Yeah. I mean, once you have a blazing forest fire like that, and the thing is they don't know about it's in the redwood forests.
Terrifying.
Well, redwoods are apparently extremely hardy.
Oh, yeah. No, they're 1,000-year-old trees that are, I mean, not fireproof, but very fire resistant.
So it's because I guess they're hard wood. Oh, yeah. But the problem is the fires are out of control. Mm-hmm. And you have someone who doesn't want to do something. What, you're going to keep Trump in there because he doesn't want to do anything about global warming?
I know.
What the hell do you think that is?
Yeah.
You know, it's too hot. I listened to someone this morning on, I don't know, on one of the Canadian stuff. Just talking, I don't know if she's American or who knows what, or Canadian. Talking about naming, probably in America, naming heat events.
Yeah, to try and make people understand how serious and frequent they are.
Yeah, like hurricanes.
Yeah.
This was the stupidest response that I got from this host, whom I'm not overly fond of. I don't dislike him intensely, but I'm not fond of him.
You're annoyed.
I don't want to get into that. That's Canadian. Okay. That's Canadian sort of inside stuff. He asks her, yes, but you know, heat is different. You know, a heat event would be different in different parts of the country. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going, hurricanes are different in different parts of the country too. And sometimes you have tropical storms.
Absolutely.
And you don't know whether they're going to turn into hurricanes. And you don't know if these heat events. And yes, but I'll tell you, if it is 149 degrees Fahrenheit, it is friggin' hot and it doesn't matter where you live.
Yeah.
And we've had terrible summers. Now we're getting rain. It's going to rain and it's going to rain and it's going to rain. Well, I turned my heat on and sure enough, it's coming on. It's 12 degrees, which is, I'm trying to think what that is.
See, the problem is, it's like we get these incredibly hot, parched summers and, you know, things have trouble growing. It's really bad. But then we get this unbelievable deluge in the fall and we get landslides and we get floods. Like it's not like the rain is a respite from the climate event. It's another climate event.
Yeah. It just turns into something else. Like we've had pouring rain here, like just rain.
No matter how much I personally adore rain. And I do. I love rain. I cannot get enough of the rain. Love being out in the rain. I'm not going to say it's a universally good thing. Rain is incredibly dangerous in a ton of situations.
Yeah. Well, right now it's 54 degrees.
Oh, wow. That sounds so nice.
Fahrenheit. So it's 12 degrees, right? Yeah. And it's not going to go up to more than about 60.
So
I think there's a day here we're going to get about 69.
Point out, and by the way, just next time, people listening to this, you should be in favor of the Green New Deal. It's a great idea. Getting America completely off of all fossil fuel energy production by 2035 is a really good idea. But next time someone tells you it's unfeasible and it's too expensive, just tell them that doing the Green New Deal annually would cost a fraction of what it costs to fight these forest fires annually and to rebuild all of these homes and businesses annually, because that's true. If they say it's too expensive, say, is it more expensive than dealing with epic forest fires and droughts? And the answer is no, it's not. It's less expensive than that. Mm-hmm. And that's the key part. Completely switching everything over to solar, wind, nuclear. I know people don't like nuclear, but it's clean as hell. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, actually, that's what one guy, the Green Party, our Green Party is looking for a new leader, and I don't know, the election isn't, it's sometime very shortly.
Yeah.
We will have a new Green leader, and there is a First Nations gentleman whose name I don't know, but that's what he was talking. He says, well, why aren't we just building nuclear?
Yeah.
Replacing. He said, first of all, you can send, he said, why are people so complaining about sending natural gas to China? China's on coal.
Yeah.
Natural gas is better than coal. Than coal. It yeah. steps. He said, but why aren't we using nuclear?
Yep.
I mean, that's always been like, I have not been like, I don't.
Hey, I used to be against nuclear, and you showed me all of the numbers about why nuclear just makes more sense. And it does. Like, it's a good transitional energy source while we're getting all of the green stuff up and running. It is.
Well, and it's as long as you put it. Yes, there are problems with, there's problems with any extraction system we use.
Yep.
I mean, if you're using solar power, I mean, even.
That's non-extractive. That's non-extractive.
But it's, except that you using batteries, you still have to have places to store them and stuff like that, right? But it's never mind. Electricity. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I mean, electricity can be made with nuclear power, and there's no reason. Mm-hmm. You just have to be very careful.
Of course. You know, that's all we can. I mean, we've had like one serious problem in Chalk River ever. Yeah. And famously, world's greatest 20th century's greatest president, Jimmy Carter, is one of the people who fixed it.
Yeah.
That's a true story. Jimmy Carter is a nuclear engineer.
Yeah.
Like the man is like qualified to work on nuclear power plants. And he's one of the people who fixed Chalk River, Ontario's nuclear power plant, that the energy that is allowing me to record this podcast partially comes from a nuclear power plant.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are
that far from where I live. And I have never worried for a second about that.
No. And there's others. I mean,
Three Mile Island,
you know,
the worst nuclear disaster America's had wasn't even that bad.
No. Well, someone we know went for a walkthrough.
Yep. And had no trouble at all.
No. Now, Chernobyl was a mess.
Yeah, Chernobyl was a mess, but Chernobyl had, there's a whole, you know, that's a long story.
Well, the short story is they weren't taking care of the plant properly, and they didn't have enough staff properly, and they weren't watching what was going on, and it blew up.
And someone wanted to make their monthly energy quota.
Yeah.
Because they were afraid of getting demoted within the party. Like, there's a lot of political reasons that Chernobyl happened. Beyond the technical reasons, there are political reasons it happened.
Oh, yeah.
That shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but that's the Chernobyl problem. But basically, there are nuclear plants all over the place.
Yeah, that aren't dangerous.
Well, you know, and I mean, I think that in the beginning, there were all sorts of problems. We know someone who lost his...
all of their digits. Well, not all of their digits, but most of their fingers.
On to, one hand.
Yeah, to a nuclear power plant. But you know what? He lived a long and happy life, even though he had had... The man had radiation poisoning, and he still made it into his 80s.
Yeah.
You know? And was spry and good to go for his whole life. Like, radiation poisoning... up until the very end.
Up until about the last 5 years when you could see it was affecting his bones and things like that. And you assume it's from that.
But it's like, the fact is, we knew someone who literally had radiation sickness for more than half of his life and still lived a good long life.
Yeah.
And we're not saying nuclear power isn't dangerous. We're saying we personally know people, the two of us, who work in nuclear power and were there for nuclear accidents and got radiation sickness and still lived life. I'm not saying it's not the worst thing in the world. I'm saying the three guys in Chernobyl who had to go down into the sewers under Chernobyl to flood the tanks and make sure there wasn't a second explosion all survived that and all lived well. In, like, I think two of them are still alive and the third one lived into his 60s. So it's like... I'm not saying it's not bad. I'm just saying it's less dangerous than you've been told.
Yes. It, and it's just because you, it can also, that material, That's the problem. It can be used for nuclear bombs. However, the other thing we learned this week is that the Americans
have a brand new nuclear weapon system.
Yeah.
It is completely top secret until Trump just blabbed about it to Bob Woodward.
Yeah. Like,
what is wrong with this man?
What did he think? That was worse than Scaramucci's talking about.
Absolutely.
To the reporters.
That's insane.
Can't talk to a reporter and think it's off the... Well, no. And plus, his conversation with Woodward.
Yeah.
Was on the record, conversation.
He knew it was on the record. That's the craziest part.
Yeah, we have something that nobody knows about. And then all of a sudden, everybody knows.
I know. Like, you knew he was writing a book about you. What is wrong with you, you absolute buffoon?
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong
with you? Yeah, we have a new secret nuclear program.
Nobody has ever seen anything like it. Like,
and they don't know anything about it, and it's going to shock them all.
I know. Oh, what is this man doing?
I don't know. It's just like he, you know, when he first got to office, you know?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
And you just sort of sit there and go, and I'm going, and what do you mean? You think Russia didn't know? You think Trump didn't tell Russia?
Of course Trump told Russia. He's on the phone with Putin all the time.
And you wonder why they didn't want to, you know, tell Trump things? Well, this is why.
Okay, every now and then, like... The Trump presidency has been such a disaster in every respect that every now and then you have to just like pause and remember the craziest stories. And I want to remind everyone that the U.S. government had an asset who was literally next to Putin, who was literally in Putin's inner circle, like who was as close to Putin as any agent has ever been. And they had to pull that asset out. Because the CIA genuinely believed that Trump was going to burn this man and get him killed.
Yeah.
Because Trump is 100% beholden to Putin for some reason. Oh, yeah. You know who else's book came out this week? Peter Strzok.
Oh.
Yes, Peter. Like, in all this other news, Peter Strzok's book came out this week. And I listened to an interview with him, and he's like, Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence, just told me that 100% there is no explanation for Trump's behavior other than Trump is being blackmailed by Putin. And Dan Coats is like, I don't know what they're using to blackmail him, but 100% he is being blackmailed by Putin.
Yeah, Coats figured that. I mean,
that's the only possible explanation.
He didn't put it the way you put it.
No, I put it in the most dramatic way possible.
Yes,
as I am wont to do. But that is, you can't deny that that's his opinion.
He said the only explanation for some of these things was that Russia had something on Trump. He didn't know what it was.
But 100% he is being blackmailed by Putin. Yeah.
He could not understand
his behavior otherwise.
Other than that. Yeah,
his behavior makes no sense unless he's being blackmailed by Putin. And you know what? That's pretty scary for the President of the United States to be being blackmailed by the President.
Well, as I said, or else he's a sleeper agent.
Or else he's been a sleeper agent since the 80s. Yeah. And that was big conversation that came. Well, no, it would have started in the 80s when he was married to a communist.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Let's not forget that he married a communist.
Yeah.
He married a communist, and this is the fun part. If you read House of Putin, House of Trump, you're going to find out that, guess what? The Czech security services listened to and recorded every single conversation Ivana Trump had with her parents. They did, to the point where, and this is true, they knew Trump was going to announce that he was running for president in 1988 before America did, because she told her parents.
Well, not only that, but if he beat her up,
I know
she told.
They know about. Yeah, she told her parents, and that's
you would
all.
Tell. That's the sort of thing you would tell your parents. You would specifically tell your mother,
of course,
for sure.
And it's 100% the Czech KGB affiliates have tapes of that.
I'm sure of it.
No, you know? We're not sure. Yeah. The Czech is no longer communist and they're no longer totalitarian. They've opened up the files. Like, this isn't a question of if they have it. They have it. They've opened up the files and they've shown people this stuff. Like, so the KGB, he was on the KGB's radar since the 80s. So, and I'm not saying he's been working for them since the 80s. I'm saying they've been manipulating him since the 80s. And by the way, I saw the Michael Cohen interview on Rachel Maddow. Wow. Oh my God. Do you know what I love most about it, though? It's that Michael Cohen is such a scumbag that he's still lying about stuff. Like, I don't doubt that anything he's saying about Trump is true. But he's like, I don't know anything about Russian money laundering. Your dad is a Russian money launderer. Your father-in-law's a Russian money launderer.
Yes, but...
Where do you think all that money to buy the taxi medallions came from? Other than the Russian mob.
But...
Please.
Okay. But that's sort of family. I mean...
Oh, it's family.
And he's only just getting out of a cult, right?
Yes,
and
exactly.
I think he would like to keep his wife.
Oh, no, no. I'm not saying he's not gonna... He's like... That's why he didn't get a... That's why he didn't get a non-prosecution agreement from the feds. Like, he would have... If he had rolled on his family, he wouldn't have gone to jail.
Yeah.
But no, his family's friggin' money launderers for the Russian mob.
Yeah. So... Yeah, but so you're going to ask him about that. Of course he's going to say.
Of course he's going to lie. No, but it's like, I just love that he's still a dirtbag. Even when he's on our side, he's still a dirtbag.
Well, yeah, but he's only, I mean, that's always the problem, right? Is that sometimes you have to pick your, you can't choose the people.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean, I mean, as they say, it's like Roman Catholics and evangelical Christians bonding over abortion issues, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, duh.
They hate each other, but they all hate abortion more. So,
well, yes, they believe that one another is going to go, particularly those who
the evangelicals.
Are go. Well, no, both sides, the ones that are so gung ho on all of this stuff, right? Fanatical about it.
Yeah.
Are both, you know, of the ilk that would think that the other is damned to hell.
100%, so, yes.
You know, as far as I can tell. And, but, you know, you have a joint cause here, and the joint cause is,
they
so
can put,
yes.
Yeah,
and,
it's a, you know, the enemy of my enemy situation.
Yeah, basically, you know, and so, but, you know, I mean, it's always that way. You get groups, as long as you've got a common enemy. You know, it's like the Democratic Party right now in the United States, right?
Yeah,
right
like
now.
The left wing, the actual left wing, and most of the corporate centrists are working together.
Yeah, because
Trump's a bigger problem.
Or as people will say to AOC, look, and I mean, Bernie bought it, you know, but to AOC and stuff, look,
we'll
just
figure the rest of
this
out after.
After we get rid of Trump.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not going to be easy sailing.
No, it's
afterwards.
Not. No, there's going to be a lot of internecine fights afterwards, yes.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how Biden works, how if Biden gets in, because, you know, but if he gets in, you know, how that's all going to play out, because it's not going to be, because then you're going to see, in the United States, you're kind of stuck, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't have the third. That you don't have a viable third party.
Nope.
And we have viable third and even fourth. I mean,
here in Canada,
these parties we're going to get in Canada, you know, we're eventually, I can see it coming, these groups, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's.
Honestly, by the way, the most fascinating story in Canadian politics is the balancing act that the Conservative Party has to do, right? Because they want to seem crazy and right wing enough. To keep, because if an actual crazy right-wing party starts, a viable crazy right-wing party starts in Canada, the Conservatives are done, because that splits their base. Conservatives consistently can get like 36% of the vote. But if an actual, and that's enough to be in charge, but if an actual viable crazy right-wing party starts up in Canada, suddenly they're going to get 10% of the vote, The conservatives are only going to be getting 25% of the vote, and then conservatives will never get another election. That's what destroyed the original conservative party. When the Reform Party came in and took 10% of their support, it completely destroyed the party. Then they merged into one party, and then they've been viable since. And now they're in this weird position where it's like, how right-wing can we get to keep a right-wing third party or fourth, fifth party from appearing without becoming so right-wing that we lose our support to the liberals? Like, it's this crazy balancing act they're doing right now. And that's what, you know, like, you look at people like Jason Kenney having to get so crazy right-wing to keep his support in Alberta that it pisses off, you know, most Albertans.
Yeah.
Although not enough Albertans, but that's another story.
Yeah, well, we won't. Yeah, you know, that's, you know, we're starting to get into, you know, our country, which is 10% the size of
America,
the United States.
Basically the same size as California. Landmass, we're bigger than America. Said, population, same as California.
Yeah. Yep. California's actually got more people than
we do now. I know, that was crazy.
Well,
when they cross that line and they have more people than Canada. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, and I'm going in that small. Well, they're the fifth largest economy in the world. So
maybe sixth now that half of the state is burned down.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see what the rankings are next year.
But
that's a whole other conversation.
It is. I watched all this week, and because I have so many other things now, and I have to go to school again, you know, I can't kind of have it on, and I can't always listen between 12 and 1 to John King, and I can't listen to. I did listen to the Biden interview with Jake Tapper.
Wasn't that great?
Well, I don't know. This is what I keep saying to people. I don't think I said it last week. To me, it's, you know, anybody who complains to me about Biden, I say, okay, have you listened to a speech? No, I just watched these clips and then these stupid ads or something. I'm going, okay,
listen to a speech and then we'll talk about it, or
listen to an interview.
Yeah.
Then we'll talk. Yeah. I'm more than willing to talk to you after that. But before that, I mean, I've had to sit through too much of Donald Trump.
Yeah, I know.
That you sit there and you go, okay, but at some point I'm just going, well, it's more of the same and all the rest of it. And I can't, I mean, his voice comes on and I kind of turn the sound down until his voice is over.
Yeah, it's disgusting that we have to listen to this man, but you know. President of the United States. It's disgusting. So, you know, something that occurred to me this week when I was listening to all this, and I've shared this with a couple other people, but it's the first time I've said it on a podcast or anything. I might have tweeted about it, actually. You know what interests me, though, is I was thinking that the best analogy comes from, like, I was trying to think of why we're a little softer towards George Bush these days, because George Bush was, in many ways, just as bad in his own way, because he started these two nightmarish wars that are still going on that have killed millions of people.
Well, it's the 9/11 problem.
Exactly. It's the 9/11 problem. And the thing is, what it comes down to, the reason Trump is worse than George Bush ever was, right, is, and the best analogy comes from The Big Lebowski, right? Which is, I know it sounds crazy, right? But whatever you feel about the project for a new American century and the neoconservatives, they had an ethos. They believed in something. Right. Mm-hmm. They believed in the idea that America should be in charge of the world, and it is worth fighting and dying and killing for America to be in charge of all of the world's energy supplies so that America would stay in charge of the world the same way America had been in charge of half the world after World War II. That's what the project for a new American century was for. That was their ethos. That was that they believed in. And, you know, say what you will about them. It is an ethos. It is a system of values. It is believing in something. And Trump, by comparison, doesn't believe in anything.
Yeah, that's the thing. Trump only believes in Trump.
And not even like the Trump family. He only believes in himself. No,
only Trump. Because, as we know, Sun Don wanted to go into the military, and Sun Don was told he would be cut off if he did.
I know, right? Like, that was going to be, I love like his rebellion was, well, I'll just join the military. And they're like, well, you'll never get any money from us if you join the military. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Although, and this is why you have to read the book by Mary Trump. I'm going to tell you this one brief story and then we'll move on to our recommendations. Mine might be the Mary Trump book this week. But anyway, so she opens the book with this conversation about going to the White House for a dinner for her two aunts, his two sisters, who apparently had very close birthdays. So they celebrating the birthdays together at the White House, right? And so Trump, in part of his speech, and this is what just a casual monster he is, said about Lara Trump, Eric's wife, about what a good job, right, she did speaking for him, like at the convention or at some stump speech thing. And yeah. The way he says it is like, I didn't even know who the F this woman was when she walked up, but then she did a great job. So I'm like, way to go. And then you sit there and you think about it. It's like,
that's his daughter-in-law.
That is his daughter-in-law. And he didn't know who it was when she stood up to talk about it. Presumably he was at the wedding, you know?
Who knows?
Although, hell, maybe he wasn't. But yeah, it's an amazing book that I'm going to encourage you to check out, and we're going to discuss after you have. But now let's move on to the recommendations, because we have spent 50 minutes just having our minds blown by what a crazy week this was.
Yeah.
So please just recommend people watch something quickly, and then we'll go.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, I was trying to think of what to recommend, because I'm getting kind of, but I thought everybody should go watch Nashville.
Oh, Nashville's so
good. The TV series. Not the movie. That's the whole other story.
Yeah.
Go watch Nashville, the TV series, if only for the music. The first year was marvelous. Now, the last couple of years, because
Connie Britton.
Yeah, left, right? Yeah. She didn't want to do it anymore. And she got on this other show. I can't remember what it was. She's on some show now.
Yeah.
Some show. One of those things, right?
Yeah, one of the cop or fire shows or whatever.
Yeah. And I guess she got that was more to her. And who knows what the pressures are, because I haven't followed any of that. The pressures.
We don't know what it was like behind the scenes for her on that show.
Yeah. And, and who knows where she's living, and they were filming. I mean, the surprising thing is that there were a couple of people who were Brits who were actually on it. And you would never
know. Doing amazing accents. Yeah.
You would never know. And the singing. But what I just wanted to say, I mean, I was thinking about some of this and I just went, okay, don't throw dirt on my grave just yet, right? And I'm just going, I don't know. That song was absolutely brilliant.
I've heard it. It is in the tradition of the best of country music.
Yeah. And so it was just a wonderful, you can go listen to the song. Don't put dirt on my grave just yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll do that.
And then you'll love it. And then you'll say, I want to understand the context for this. And then you'll watch the show and you'll be very happy.
Now it's about the scumbag music business.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all about the scumbag music business and how people, you know, get into it and their dreams, the whole thing. It is, but it's well put together. I mean, it's your evening soap opera.
It's a good nighttime. But
the music is just brilliant. Yeah. And I'm trying to think, I can't remember who was the music mm-hmm. guy for the first year, but anyway. It was somebody, and that's what made it. And it was still continued, and it was still pretty good. I mean, you have to
sadly, Powers Booth does die in real life at one point. So
yeah, so
you lose him from the show, which is too bad because he was kind of, you know,
he was good. He was Connie Britton's father,
and he was brilliant.
Yes, and then you saw Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah.
Who does Don't Put Dirt on My Grave Just Yet, playing Patsy Cline at one point. Mm-hmm. And
it's solid. It's really good.
It's a solid, solid show. Okay.
So my recommendation is another solid TV show that just got added to Netflix, and I think everyone should check out, and that is Cobra Kai, the sequel to The Karate Kid. And the thing is, The Karate Kid was never a great movie. I mean, it's a really good movie. I mean, it actually is, because Pat Morita's amazing in that movie. Like, it's really a good movie, but it's not a great movie. And Cobra Kai gets all of its power just from the fact that it takes this movie that was this footnote of 80s culture. And mm-hmm. there's good parts and there's bad parts of the series, but mostly all the stuff about the teenagers and the next generation is kind of, eh, who cares? But the fact that it is largely a show about, like, what you thought you were going to do when you were a kid and how your life turned out, starring the same actors 35 years later, like, neither of whom have become, in real life, giant successes in their, in, like, the field of acting. So it's all about, like, what you thought you were going to be and what you turned into, and whether it's ever too late to try and start, like, making your life mean something. And just, like, the weight, because neither Ralph Macchio nor William Zabka, who play the leads, like, neither of them are great actors, but so much of it is they're bringing their own life experience of the past 35 years since they were in The Karate Kid together to the story. It gives us this weight that the writing and direction doesn't earn, but their real life performances that draw so heavily from themselves as people, it gives us this weight that's unlike anything else out there. Like, of all of the reboots and the comebacks and the let's check in with these characters 30 years later, of all of those that are currently happening, it's the most interesting one of them. And I really do recommend people check it out. It's called Cobra Kai. It's on Netflix right now. They might be doing a third season. The thing that was on YouTube Red doesn't exist anymore, but depending on how this goes, Netflix might be giving them a third season. So check it out. The first two seasons are there. I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh,
and by the way, maybe watch The Karate Kid first, because I was talking to someone who had never seen The Karate Kid talking about it, and it's amazing how it plays for someone who has no idea that it's like everything in the show is a callback and a reversal to the original movie. So it's kind of fascinating how differently it plays if you don't know. So you can actually watch the show first if you want, but then be sure to watch The Karate Kid so you can understand what an interesting job they've done of complicating matters. It's kind of fascinating.
Okay.
All right. So that's that. We're going to wrap up here. We're going to see you back here on Thursday for more Criminal Minds as we close in on the end of season 10, which should be a ton of fun. That's the Jennifer Love Hewitt season. One of the worst seasons of Criminal Minds, but interesting in its own right. And the most successful the show ever was, which is kind of crazy that a show would be the most successful in its 10th season. People love Jennifer Love Hewitt, though. And of course, we're going to be here next Sunday. Hopefully, like, the world is less crazy this week, but I don't see that happening at all.
No. I do not know, because every time the dumpster fire looks like it's going to calm down, somebody pours fuel on it.
Throws another tank full of gasoline in there. Yeah.
And a whole bunch more crap to burn. No.
All right, so we'll see you back here for that next Wednesday. For now, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you'd like to recommend a show or a book or whatever for people to check out, drop us a line at profilingcriminalminds@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you're listening to this on some sort of a podcatcher or podcast app, be sure to rate and review it, because that is how people find the show. We'll see you back here next week, next Sunday, for more of this. But until then, I'm going to say thanks for listening and au revoir.
Have a good week.
Profiling Criminal Minds is a member of the Kinks Podcasting Network.